I'm sure we have all heard the phrase, if looks could kill. I'm sure you can even picture in your mind those eyes filled with rage. You've probably seen it in the eyes of another. Perhaps you've even seen it in your own face as you looked in the mirror. In the ancient world, and even in some cultures still today, the evil eye is more than just a funny face. It is a glance that is thought to cause harm to the recipient. That's how I envision the eyes of the chief priests and the scribes, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, as they plotted Jesus' death in tonight's Passion reading. They are filled with hatred and murder as they witness Jesus being greeted with praise, with palm branches and shouts of Hosanna as he rode into Jerusalem just a few days earlier. But even before that, when face to face with Jesus, they heard him speak woes and warnings to them. If they could have spit out venom or shot arrows out of their eyes at the Lord, they would have. You probably don't even remember what you did to deserve it, as it happened so many years ago. One or maybe both of your parents had yelled at you and sent you to your room. Going into your room and slamming the door, you say in a low voice, "I hate you, I hate you, I hate you." Well out of earshot of your parents. I'm sure your eyes had that same murderous look that the Jewish leaders had. But now, as parents yourself, you realize that you justly received what was coming to you, punishment, because of your misbehavior and because of your awful attitude. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," said Jesus, no doubt with a rather stern, piercing look. This probably didn't go over very well with the Jewish leaders, but it is what they needed to hear, those words spoken in love, like when a parent disciplines his child. God and his representatives here on earth never speak the law to us in wickedness, but only because we need to recognize our sin, our wrongdoings, so we know what to repent of. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," said Jesus, "for you build the tombs of the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, 'If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in the shedding the blood of the prophets.' Thus you witnessed against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers." Jesus wanted them to recognize that their total hypocrisy and repent of their sin. So he sarcastically says, "Fill up then the measure of your fathers," to bring them face to face with the murder that lay in their hearts under this false charade of honoring the murdered prophets and behind their pious claim that we wouldn't have done what our fathers did. But the guilt is real when the sons of the fathers lack repentance. So Jesus challenges them to push things forward to their logical conclusion. Starting at verse 34, "Therefore I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, and some you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town, so that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation." And this includes his own crucifixion. "This is nothing new under the sun," said the preacher in Ecclesiastes. "Murderous thoughts and looks of as old as mankind's fall into sin. Cain's downcast eyes became murderous towards his brother Abel, whose sacrifice was accepted, but Cain's was not. The cause of murder is always man. But the original source is the devil, who Jesus said was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. St. John says that the murderer Cain was of the evil one. In addressing the Jews that wanted to kill him, Jesus identifies Satan as the father of all who hate God's Son. But how does this pertain to all of us? Surely the Lord's not talking to us pious Christians, is he? But listen to his word. His apostle St. John says, "Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." 1 John 3:15. And a bit later he says, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." So let's follow his perfect logic. If we claim to love God while hating our brother, we are both a murderer and a liar and cannot love God. And if we don't love him, then we must hate him. It kind of looks like Cain, the hostile Jewish leaders. All of us are in the same boat. So let's not lie to ourselves. We all have said in our heart, "I have reasons for hating my parents. I have a great excuse for wishing that my brother was dead. I have good cause for casting an evil eye upon my neighbor." That's enough to make you a murderer in God's sight and place you under his wrath. The Jews filled up the measure of their fathers in tonight's Passion reading. And if we're honest with ourselves, we must see ourselves right along with them. What an amazing thing, then, that the Father would allow his Son to be murdered at the hands of these sinful men, just to save a bunch of rotten, rebellious sinners like us, with eyes filled with rage against God and our fellow man. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Romans 5:8-9. The wrath of God is not a murderous glance from the Father, but a look of righteous judgment upon the guilt of our sin. We all deserve God's wrath, just as much as you deserved your parents' punishment. But instead of giving us what we actually deserved, God put it on Jesus, and Jesus willingly took it for us men and for our salvation. From the cross, Jesus looked at the masses of humanity and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Original sin, which produces lies, hatred, murder, and every other type of sin, is so deep a corruption that we cannot recognize the depravity of what we think, what we say, what we do, unless it is revealed to us by God's word. But once our murderous eyes have looked in horror on what we have really done, nailing the innocent Son of God to the cross with our sins, then we also are ready for the joyful good news of the forgiveness of all of our sins for the sake of Christ's voluntary sacrifice at the hands of murderers, the death by which he extinguished the wrath of God for us. Paul writes in Romans 5, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." From Romans 5. Rejoicing in God is the theme of the fourth Sunday in Lent. So rejoice in Him who has turned your murderous eyes away from sin, guilt, and despair, and lifted them up to look upon Himself as your Savior. So keep your eyes on Jesus, and to God be the glory. Amen.